All right, what an amazing few hours. It has been 12 hours of my life. Last night, I was at the Horseshoe, and I was there watching that wind. I got home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I took the long drive from Sunbury, Ohio, over here to Life Point, Delaware, to be here with the Life Point family, and I'm excited about what God is doing. OH! Pastor Kale, God's at work in this church, brother. I just want you to know that. By the way, you are blessed to have the pastor you have in Kale Boer. Amen? Incredible. Seeing lives change. And I know just a couple of months ago, he referenced to you about the baptisms that have been happening over the past year. Over the past 3 years, we've seen our baptisms go up 96%. 3,400 people coming to faith in Christ and seeing baptisms happen. It's also amazing starting churches, and I've actually seen 30, we just got the numbers in just a couple of weeks ago, 33 new churches this year in the Buckeye State. Thank you so much, Life Point family. To give you context, over the past 2 years, we've seen over 80 churches started and strengthened by the grace of God and for the glory of God. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your prayers. We're seeing lives change. We're seeing more Life Points happen. I just preached at the Life Point Worthington campus a couple of months ago. They're already out of room over there. It's unbelievable what is happening across our state and across our network. And it doesn't happen without churches like you who pray and give and you're willing to go. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of our state for your generosity and seeing people wanted to know how to know Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for that. This morning, I am talking about the real Christmas tree. I know you've been walking through a series over the past few weeks. And this morning, though, we're going to kind of take a little bit of a sidetrack and really talk about the real Christmas tree. I know we have Christmas trees. By the way, the stage looks amazing, and I love what's happened here. But we're talking about the real Christmas tree this morning, not the ones you see on the stage, but actually not even the one in your home, probably. We're talking about another Christmas tree. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, so go ahead and take your Bible and turn there, right? I love what one pastor said. I love to hear the rustling of the pages or see the glow on your faces, all right? So doesn't matter what you got, just get to a copy of the scriptures, and we're going to read there in just a few moments. But do you know, when it comes to Christmas trees here in the United States, that 1 acre of Christmas trees produces enough oxygen for 18 people? That's your random fact of the day, all right? So Christmas trees are actually good, and they help us breathe, so go get them. 1882, Thomas Edison's lab assistants introduced the first electric Christmas tree. And you know that America, we've really celebrated Christmas around the Rockefeller Center tree since 1932. We always think about Home Alone, right? And that famous tree. By the way, I've never been there. My wife is wanting me to take her there. I love her. I'm still trying to muster up taking her and facing New York City at Christmas, but I'm thinking about it. 2022, do you know that Americans in 2022, and actually they're estimating this year that Americans are going to spend over $5 billion on Christmas trees. That's a lot of coin. That's a lot of money for a Christmas, $5 billion on Christmas trees. And I just want to take a little survey this morning, if I can, to see what kind of church I'm preaching to. I want to see here today, who in here has a real tree? Like you go out and you like did the Clark Griswold, get the saw and go cut it down kind of thing. Okay, that's a few. Who all's got the fake Christmas tree? Raise it up. Bless the Lord. I'm telling you, man, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's it. All right? So 75% of Americans have an artificial tree in their house, all right? So we take the different route, praise the Lord. So it's incredible that we love our trees, and we love them $5 billion worth on Christmas trees here in the United States. We always love Christmas. We love the nostalgia. We love the lights. We love the trees. We love the gifts. It reminds me of a story of a kid who really wanted a bike for Christmas. I mean, that's just all that he wanted. So he actually goes to his mom and he says, "Mom, I really want a bike for Christmas." And she says, "Well, she does a little Jesus juke. Why don't you pray about it? You know what I mean? Which is what a kid does not want to hear, you know? And she's like, just pray and ask God to give you a bike. And so we'll see what happens. So he sits down and he goes to write a letter. And he begins the letter by saying, "Dear Jesus, if you give me a bike, I won't sin for an entire year." So he writes the letter. He walks down to the mailbox. He goes to take it out to the mailbox. He sees in his neighbor's yard a statue of Virgin Mary. And then he starts to feel guilty. He's like, "Oh man, I just don't know if I can go a whole year. I have a sister, and you know what's going to happen with my sister every day." And so he can't figure it out. So he feels guilty. He goes back up to his room and he rewrites the letter. And he says, "Dear Jesus, if you'll give me a bike, I won't sin for 6 months. I can do 6 months." So he takes the letter, puts it in the envelope, treks down to the mailbox, sees Virgin Mary again in the neighbor's yard. He goes, "I can't. I cannot go 6 months without sinning. There's no way. She'll drive me nuts. I can't do it." So he goes back. He actually takes the Virgin Mary statue with him, puts Virgin Mary in his arm, hides it under a blanket, and runs upstairs and locks the door. He goes back and he rewrites the letter. He says, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, I want you to give me a bike for Christmas." So there's things that we do. We go to all extents to make sure that we get what we want for Christmas. We're talking about the real Christmas tree this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's holy, inerrant, infallible, inspired word from 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being in this place at this moment for this time. And there is no one here listening to the sound of my voice that's here by accident. God, you have brought them here. Lord, they may have come here because they had to come or someone invited them to come. Lord, I pray they would understand the real meaning of Christmas, the true gift of Christmas, as we talk about the real Christmas tree today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We love our trees, and I want to kind of compare and contrast. We just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, really where Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, on what I believe is the real Christmas tree. I believe the real Christmas tree isn't the Christmas tree that's on this stage, although they're awesome. I don't believe the real Christmas tree is the one in your home, although I'm sure it's awesome because most of them are fake, which I love, right? I love Christmas trees, but the real Christmas tree is the cross of Christ. And I want to compare and contrast for a few moments both trees. Number one tree is for decoration, and one tree is for death. One tree is what we decorate, but the other tree wasn't to be decorated. It was for a death by our Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. On your screen it says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And what's incredible to me about Christmas is that Christ came when he didn't have to. One tree is for decoration. We decorate those trees, right? We go and we get the fake snow, which drives me nuts because it takes us 4 days to vacuum it up off the floor. You know what I mean? It's like my kid's favorite part of the journey. We do all the work of unboxing it and putting it on and lacing it up with all the decorations and the 14 million ornaments we have that we shouldn't in our home, right? And at the end, Jennifer's like, hey, who wants to put snow on the tree? And I'm like, oh man, here we, you know, it's like just goes everywhere, and then it takes 4 days to vacuum up. So we love to decorate our trees. I don't know how you like to decorate your tree, but we have our favorite ornaments. We have our favorite lights. We have the snow. But we decorate that tree. But this tree, the real Christmas tree, isn't for decoration. It's actually for death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Christ took upon himself this human form of ours. He became man even as we are men. And in his humanity and in his lowliness, we recognize our own form. He has become like a man so that men should be like him. We're talking about the real Christmas tree, and we're understanding that one tree is to be decorated and one tree is actually for death. And as we decorate our trees, it says something about us. I read somewhere that depending on the lights you have, it kind of describes your personality. Anybody here like white lights? All white lights? Purist, right? It actually says you're an introvert. Merry Christmas, right? If you like multicolored, who are my multicolor lights? Y'all are the extroverts, right? So you like being out there a little bit. If who all has blinking lights? Y'all have ADD, all right? who all's got homemade lights? Homemade lights. That just means you got too many kids, all right? And then if you have string popcorn lights, you just got too much time on your hands. See, the reality is our lights may be real a little bit about us. And there's nothing wrong with having fun and decorating a Christmas. But I'm here to remind us this morning that the real Christmas tree isn't the one that you decorate. It's the one that Christ died on. It's for death. See, Jesus didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve it. The birth of Jesus is not a rags to riches story. It's a riches to rags story. He gave up everything for us. He gave up everything. The one who knew no sin became sin. That's what makes this so incredible. 1 Peter chapter 1, you know that angels, the Bible says that angels long to understand what we have received in the gift of Christ. They long to understand it. Angels. No one has ever seen God. Jesus has never been created. He's always been. Genesis 1, 25, 26, and 27 in the Hebrew. Jesus was there when he says, let us make man in our image. Jesus is not a created being. He is God in the flesh. He has always been. And there he is. And the angels look down and they see this manger. And they're like, there's our commander in chief. Why does he love them so? There he is, God in the flesh, a baby born in a manger. Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And maybe you're here today and you're trying religion. You know what the word religion actually means? If you take the word lig and the word religion, that's the word we get ligament for. So to re-lig, it means literally to repair what has been severed. The word religion is man trying to repair what has been severed by sin. So it's religion is when humans, men, we try to make our own way and our own path to God. I'm going to try to work my way to heaven. I'm going to try to earn my way to heaven. I'm going to try to be good enough to get to heaven. I'm going to try to buy my way into heaven. I'm going to try to serve at the church to get, listen, it's great to serve in the church, but serving in the church isn't going to get you to heaven. Now listen, if you work in the kids ministry, it's going to get you close, all right? But it won't get you all the way there, all right? Jesus is the only way. You can't preach sermons and get to heaven. I'm not relying upon preaching to get me to heaven. Amen. I cannot get to heaven on my own. I have to understand that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I can't pursue enough religion to get myself to heaven. So religion is man trying to get to God. Christianity is God coming to man and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. One tree is for decoration, and one tree is for death. You see, Jesus paid a debt he didn't know, and we owe a debt that we can't pay. And that's why Christ made the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that he who knew no sin became sin for us on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Number two, one tree is for a season, and one tree is for an eternity. One tree is for a season, but one tree is for an eternity. Man, we spend and we decorate and we put up and we love our Christmas trees. And what happens the day after Christmas? Actually, I'm not going to say that. We don't put our Christmas trees up. We actually leave those jokers up. How many of y'all leave your Christmas stuff up till after New Year's? How many until Easter? Yeah. You're like, I'm not going to say that in church. But the reality is we love our stuff. We keep it up as long as we can. But you know what's incredible is the day after Christmas, you know what happens? Everything goes on sale. Half off everything. Get it out. And then we box it all up and we put it back in the box till the next year, right? And we owe a lot of money from the Christmas we just had, right? That's why the famous song on Day After Christmas is, I owe, it's off to work I go. You know what I mean? Because we're in debt for a while, right? Christmas is just awesome, it's fun, but then we have to pack it all up, we box it up, and we pull it out the next year. It's not that way with salvation. It's not that way with the cross of Christ. You see, while one tree is for a season, one tree is for an eternity. Hebrews 9:22 will be on your screen. It says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. See, the reality is sin is a problem. Sin is passed through the seed of the men. Guys, it's on us, right? We can try to blame Eve all we want to, but it all falls to us. And that's why the Bible says, well, why is it so important for Jesus to be born of a Virgin Mary? Well, the Bible says in Romans 5, Romans 6, and Romans 7 that sin was passed through the seed of the male. And so if Jesus was to have an earthly father, then sin would have been passed on to him. And then Jesus couldn't have been born. He couldn't have paid the penalty for our sins. People say, well, Pastor Jeremy, I should have died for my sins. It should have been me on the cross. Listen, I love what you're trying to say, but I'm telling you, biblically, theologically, practically, it couldn't be. Because we're all born sinners. Everybody in this room is a sinner. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. People say, oh, Pastor Jeremy, there's just no way that my kid could be a sinner. There's just no way that we're all born that way. Listen, you, my friend, have never worked in a nursery of a church. You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, you drop a crayon and a toy and a bunch of one-year-olds, and you're going to see things break out you didn't think you could see, right? Because we all are born selfish and sinners, and we just grow up. And the reality is we can't save ourselves. And because sin was passed through the seed of the male, Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because if he would have had an earthly father, he would have been a sinner just like you and me, and then he couldn't save us and redeem us. And he had to live a perfect life, which he did. And that was the penalty for sin. And Jesus came and paid that penalty for us. He changed eternity for us. You know that? He changed eternity for us. So we're all wrapped up, right, in Christmas and eggnog and trees and snow and all this different stuff. It's temporary. But this Christmas tree isn't for a season. This Christmas tree is for an eternity. And it changed my life when I was a 9-year-old kid. Has it changed you? Do you have peace tonight? Do you have peace right now? Do you have peace understanding? You know, the reality is you'll never have the peace of God until you make peace with God. Some of you in this room, you're exhausted because you're trying everything you can to find peace. And nothing's going to give it to you like Christ. And it starts with the real Christmas tree, the cross. One tree is for a season, but one tree is for an eternity. Pastor and author Kyle Idleman said, "Jesus had the world at his feet, but he came to wash the feet of this world." That's Christmas. Emmanuel, what's it mean? God what? With us. Jesus came and he did what we could not do for ourselves, and he humbled himself. Why? Why would he do it? I'm 45 years old and I still wonder why he would do it. I haven't gotten over it. And I hope you don't get over it. I hope you never get over Christmas. I hope you never get over the reality of the real Christmas tree. And I hope you understand that one tree is for a season. You box it up, put it back, pull it out the next year. But one tree is for an eternity. It's changed everything. Number three, one tree is for receiving. And one tree is all about giving. One tree is for receiving. And one tree is for giving. Man, we love to receive Christmas gifts, right? I remember when I was a kid, I didn't care what anybody else got. I wanted to know under the tree what was going to be mine. And I did not want it to be socks. You know what I mean? Like the most terrible gift you can give a kid at Christmas is socks. It's like always, it's always the ants who always give the socks. You know what I mean? Like if you're here and you're an ant, please don't give socks to those you love. You know what I mean? Unless they're Buckeye socks. Those are acceptable. But the reality is you've got to move on from socks. We love to give and receive. Every year, I have at my office where our staff, we always do, you know, the white elephant Christmas thing. Some people call it Dirty Santa, whatever your phrase is. And every year I get the most ridiculous gifts and I'm the boss. You know what I mean? I'm like, this shouldn't be. Last year I got doilies and dishes. It's like people just go home on Thanksgiving, raid grandma's closet and bring it to the office party. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this? I finally this year received a gift. I'm not going to kill. For the first year, I got a gift. Actually, the first 10 gifts were awful. No, there was no Dirty Santa. It was like boring Santa. You know what I mean? Like nobody was stealing. Nobody was like, I don't want that. You know what I mean? And you have fun. But then it got interesting. And then I got a gift that I actually, for the first time, I have loved and I've kept. And it's in my office. You know what it is? It's called the potty putter. Think about it. It's a putting mat that goes around your potty, and you can put, if I gotta explain it, it's not worth it. I don't know how to do it. It's amazing. It's great. And it came with two rolls of toilet paper on a big bow with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible. And it's sitting in my office, and I just have to convince Jennifer to let me bring it home to put the green mat around our potty. Pray for me. That's what I'm trying to do that. I'm so in love with this gift. I just got to bring it home. But I actually received a gift I love this year, the potty putter. And I actually shared this at a church last Sunday. I preached that. And someone in the church mailed me a gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods to buy another one. You know what I mean? I was like, this is crazy. This is like multiplying potty putters, all right? So we love to receive and to get stuff, right? But one tree is about receiving, but one tree is all about giving. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 tell us here that for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. See, there's no way except Christ to get to heaven. There's one person that can get us there. And Christmas is all about giving. It's so awesome to give, right? When we're kids, man, we just love to see what's underneath the tree. My 11-year-old Jackson, two nights ago, Jennifer wrapped some stuff, and he's down there on his hands and his knees, and he's like trying to press the paper, trying to see through it. And like, I can see something. I'm like, you're going to be grounded. Go to your, you know what I mean? Like, if they just want to see it so bad, we're all about what we're going to get. Christmas really isn't about that. It's about what the Lord has done for us. It's about giving. You understand, it's so awesome to give. When you start being generous, by the way, you don't have to be rich to be generous. You have to be generous to be generous. It's not about the amount, it's about the heart. And as you're generous toward the kingdom, as you're generous toward the church and you're generous toward others in your community, watch how the Lord's going to work in your heart and move. You will receive joy that you have never thought possible when you start to live a generous life. Why? Because you're modeling Christ. That's why Jesus said, it's more blessed to do what? To give than it is to receive. Man, we love to get. And there's nothing wrong with the Lord blessing you and giving you things. But at the end of the day, the cross and the real Christmas tree is not about always getting. It's about giving. It's about how what Christ has done for us. Jim Cimbala said this quote, Christmas is about giving because God gave his son. That was the greatest gift. And there was nothing better in heaven. Think about that. Jesus had it made. He already had a home. And yet he came and he made this world his home for 33 years. He walked and he lived and he died. He grew up in a family. Hebrews says that he understands everything. By the way, there's nothing you're going to go through this morning that he doesn't understand. Hebrews says he has suffered with us as an example. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be thirsty. He knows what it means to be lonely. He knows what it means to be slandered. He grew up with brothers and sisters. Can you imagine growing up in that family? Hey, Jude, how come you can't be more like your brother Jesus? Well, the dude's perfect. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, it's the original dude perfect. He was perfect. I mean, he grew up in a family. He's the greatest gift. Hebrews 2:12-2 says, I believe that he had us on his mind. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes you here this morning. You're not here by chance. You're here because God brought you here. This gift of salvation, number one, is priceless. It's priceless. It's really the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20 says that we have been saved. We have been redeemed. by the precious blood of Christ. Without blemish, without spot, it was perfect and it is pure. But not only is this gift priceless, it's paid for. John chapter 19, verse 30 says, "It is finished." Boy, I love to receive a gift that's been paid for. And I'm telling you, this gift has been paid for. It has been redeemed. Jesus came and he paid a price, and he has made it possible for you to redeem this gift. See, here in America, we don't like to redeem things. Do you know, I looked this summer and began to research, the average American in 2024 has $187 in unused gift cards on them right now. That's $23 billion that's been untapped, not redeemed in gift cards in the United States. So I'll be in the back after the service. And so I want you to pull out your wallet and purses and all your unused gift cards. I'll be happy to redeem those for you in Jesus' name. All right? I'm just telling you. I did this with my mother-in-law recently. She had 4 gift cards. I got 2 of them. You know what I mean? So I was like, you owe me. So I'm winning. I'm coming out ahead. We don't like to always redeem things. But I'm telling you, this redemption has been made possible for you. It's priceless. It's paid for. And it is to be possessed. Jesus did say in John 10:10, "I have come to give you life. And I've come to give you life more abundantly." Jesus wants to give you life. He wants you to live your best life because of him. He wants to bring you joy. Happiness is circumstantial. Oh, my health is good. Money's good. My team's winning. Up, down, all that kind of stuff. Joy is eternal. And that's what Jesus brings. That's why the real Christmas tree is so important for us to understand. One tree we decorate, but one tree is for death. One tree is a season, but the real Christmas tree is for eternity. One tree is for receiving, but one tree is all about giving. Dr. Adrian Rogers, a favorite pastor of mine, he said, "Put your faith where God has placed your sins, on Jesus." I want to close with a story that Billy Graham told a long time ago. He told a story of a guy we all know, Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein was actually traveling somewhere to speak, and he got on the train, and he couldn't find his ticket. And so Einstein gets on, and so the guys working the train, they're like, "We know who you are. You can just find your ticket in a little bit. You just hop on. We're about to go." So they put Einstein on the train, and he gets to sit down. And then while he's sitting down, he's looking frantically all throughout his coat. And he's trying to find his ticket. And they're like, "Hey, it's okay, Mr. Einstein. Like, we know who you are. You're good. Just grab a seat here. We'll get you something to drink. We'll be back in a few minutes." Well, he just starts to panic. And the guys come back and they find Einstein on his hands and his knees, looking all underneath the seats, trying to find his ticket. They're like, "Sir, like, we know who you are. You can just relax and take a seat." And he says, "Boys, I know who I am too. What I don't know is where I'm going." All right? The reality is he got on the train, he didn't know where he was going. Let me ask you a question. Do you know where you're going? Jesus is the greatest gift you could ever receive. And Jesus is the greatest gift you could ever give somebody. So everybody, as we close, you're in one of two camps. You're either here and you need to receive Christ as your Savior. You've never received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You don't have peace. Today is a day for you to put your faith in Christ. Or maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor Jeremy, I am a Christian. I've received that gift." Great. When was the last time you told someone about it? He's the greatest gift you could ever receive. He's also the greatest gift you could ever give somebody else. When's the last time you shared that gift with someone? I'm going to pray, and I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here and you've never received the gift of Christ, I want to give you that moment right now, right where you are, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, respectfully. If you're here, you can pray a simple prayer, something like this in your heart. Say, "Dear Christ, I know I can't save myself, but today I run to you and I receive you into my life. I repent and turn from my sin. Save me today. In Jesus' name." If you're here, you're a believer, share him. There's no greater gift at Christmas you could give than salvation through Christ. Father in heaven, as we sing to you, we give you this moment in Jesus' name.